for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Show. Today we welcome Robin Merle. She is the author of Involuntary Exit, A Women's Guide to Thriving After Being Fired. And you can go to her website, theprofessionalguide.com, because you know what? Hey, no one wants to be fired, but it happens. No. And sometimes I think women get fired for opening their mouths they should, or saying what they want. So welcome, Robin. How are you? You're welcome to open your mouth.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nancy. I am just thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, I don't believe anyone has talked about being fired unless we're talking with Ward Heinrichs, our employment attorney, on the show. So, before we started recording this, I was saying, well, this is kind of the dirty topic that no one wants to talk about. I have a friend who is a business coach, and she got divorced and got into business coach because she's also a therapist. And so it was combining those things, but she never handled the money aspect. And she ended up going bankrupt, and she thought her world was over. No one's going to ever want to hire her again because of the bankruptcy. But she got back on her feet, learned a whole bunch, and found that if she was just honest and open with other women, that they're like, we need to know about this because we were are in the same position. And so she's actually been able to rebuild her business and thrive. So I kind of felt like, you know, going through your book, that it's kind of a similar position for a woman getting fired, that absolute horror.
Yes, that and that's exactly right. And the arc that you just illustrated for your friend was the arc that, even though it related to their jobs, not their divorce, but when I was writing Involuntary Exit, I found that every woman I spoke to had followed a sort of an emotional path that eventually led to resilience, which is the best part, and a happy ending for your story. But getting fired is a topic that people don't speak about and women don't speak about. And I wrote this book before the pandemic. And when I was hearing from other women and interviewed them about things that they had told no one else, I don't think anybody had ever asked them how they felt and what they did in the immediacy of being fired and how they came to get over it and become stronger from this. And every woman, it was sort of in whispered conversations, in dark cafes, in over wine. And one of the reasons was that there was an element of shame involved in this, that they were ashamed that they were fired. In many cases, in my Involuntary Exit, talked with a lot of senior level women at executive positions where they were doing good jobs. Most of them were not fired for performance. They were let go because there was a change in direction, a new CEO, new leadership put in. Some reason that they couldn't quite reconcile with what had happened to them. And when you're at a senior level in an organization, you are used to being in control and you're used to helping people. People come to you for favors. You help people get ahead. You're in a position of authority. And when you're suddenly let go and you can't really figure it out, because some of these women had gotten promotions and bonuses and suddenly that was it. They were out. And the biggest loss to them, the biggest shock, was their identity. Because I talk about these women, and I'm one myself, loyalists. We work very hard 24/7. You two work very hard at your business. We're constantly pushing forward. We believe in the business. We believe in the mission. And every minute of our lives is sort of wrapped up. We're always thinking about the next step. Our lives are routinized by our jobs. When we're let go, the loss of identity is like a crash, a sudden crash to the ground. And it's, who are we?
It's really, the structure goes away. You know,
exactly.
You build your home life even around your work life, especially if you have children, you have to make all these arrangements. So this is taken care of at that time. And somebody needs to pick the kid up from school and all these things. And you finally get it all working like clockwork and boom, somebody pulls a rug out from under you.
And I think that's right.
So much to handle because it's far more than being fired. It's now you've got to recreate everything that you spent years creating. That's big.
That's very, very insightful, Nancy. And a lot of the times, the women that I spoke with, and I spoke to women in all, not all industries, but a good sampling of industries, financial services, communications, the arts, the nonprofit world, mainly probably in their 40s to 60s, you know, they had attained a certain level of authority and of power. Mm-hmm. And they had also, in many cases, neglected to form a network outside of their company. Oh. So if they had worked 13, 20, 30 years at a company, they were the cat's meow inside the walls of that company, but outside, people didn't know them for all they had accomplished. And one woman said, I drove off the parking lot, was driving home, pulled over, and just bawled my eyes out. Mm-hmm. I was lost. What just happened?
Yeah.
And had to really recreate exactly as you said, her world and who she was outside of that company.
I think that's important because, you know, like you're saying, being that loyalist, like it's you're 24/7. We forget who we are as an identity. We were actually talking about this on the show the other day, that we need to know who we are as a being, you know, not just, you know, of course our careers define us as well and what we do. But when you're in that level of leadership, you're mm-hmm. a leader. And I think that's one of the hardest parts is you're no longer a leader. And so that's like that empty feeling of now, how do I become a leader again? Do I want to be, you know, all of that. And what you're saying about not building that network on the outside is that you've got into a comfort zone. And also, and if you get into a comfort zone, then you start to have that lack of willingness to change. So if the company is changing, the chances of you changing with the company could be, you know, a situation. It could be maybe you're like, no, I'm anti this change, but whether you like it or not, the company's going to change. And then there are, like you said, those you know, new CEOs come in and just wipe the slate clean. That's an old school,
that
horrible way of walking into a company. It's very old school. Just fire everybody and start clean. When I think you lose a lot of time and resources when you do that.
That's a control freak thing.
Yeah.
That's wanting to make sure every single person has got my stamp of approval on it. That's really old. I don't know if companies get away with that any longer. I'm not sure.
Well, I do write a lot about corporate culture, not as much as the experts on corporate culture, but I write about it from the point of view of how it affects leaders and what it means to get promoted and what corporate culture really is. And there's a great article in the Times. They have the corner space where they've interviewed CEOs for many, many years. And one of the bottom line comments was corporate culture, you can figure out what it is, not so much by their value statement and what they stand for and all the pretty stuff, you know, that they put out to promote their corporation, but by who gets promoted, who gets reorganized, and who gets left out. And people are, you know, they're very good at taking note and following what needs to be done. And to your point, Lisa, if you're reacting against the culture coming in, you may not realize while you're doing it what the ramifications will be for you. So I talk about in one section of involuntary exit, I talk about women being faux fired when they fire themselves. Because they stay in a situation where they're constantly either their achievements are usurped by somebody else, their mistakes are amplified, They're constantly fighting for what they believe is right. And one of the things, not to make too many stereotypical comments, but one of the things that I have found that we like to do is to fix things.
Right.
Sure. We can fix that. I have a plan for that. We can fix that. Yeah. Some things you just can't fix. Some things you should just decide, okay, I am going to exit, make it a voluntary exit, and do it with dignity and do it with your identity intact. And there were many women that needed to move on from where they were, whether they were in their comfort zone because they had been there a long time and were just, you know, not ready to face the fear. Fear is a big factor when you go out of your comfort zone, there's no question. But there were many of them that had suffered the consequences of being faux fired. And they were still emotionally as devastated as some of the women who had been fired. Because again, it went back to why me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a slippery slope because it's you really have to look at the environment and the company and the situation, as you said, Lisa.
And we're still dealing with people. You know, no matter what, it's people.
Yes, I mean, it is.
It is.
And, you know, when you go to interview, having either quit your job or got fired or caused yourself to be fired, when that question comes up in the next interview for your next position, it's not the easiest thing to talk about.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have a lot of practical advice in this book about exactly those kinds of things that people don't know what to do. Their triggers, the interview, the application, the reference check, the calls from the people still at the company, these are emotional triggers. Yes. And I talk about a woman who finds herself spending a week trying to answer the question, why did you leave your previous job? And until her friend says, what is wrong with you? Just say, reorganization or new opportunities. And she said, but that's what everybody says who's been let go. And the fact is, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to read it. Just move on. And you have to recognize that when you're going through those kinds of triggers, they are, it's an emotional state that you're in. And it's something that you sort of, I call it developing emotional antigens, you know, it's like an allergy. You have to just keep pushing yourself, maybe experiencing that, maybe writing a lot of different applications, going on a lot of different interviews, depending how you build up your strength and your immunity to get to the point where you say, I'm okay. I have a script in my mind that I can believe in that's authentic to me. Because what you tell yourself in your mind is what you communicate to others. And people, you need to go prepared with that script, even if it's practicing in front of a mirror. But you need to believe it. There will be many, many people who will give you advice about how to handle that question. But if it's not your words, if it's not who you are, you'll be bumbling and fumbling along and they'll say, there must be something behind this.
Yes.
I think it's important too to know, you know, where you're going to where you're applying, you know, to find a new position is to look at that company as much as you can. A friend of ours, Lee Brovedani, she teaches trust. She's a trust architect. And she talks about this. She goes, you got to check them out and see if you can talk to any of the employees. See if you find them on LinkedIn. Ask them, what's the culture like? And one thing we're seeing is it right now from the outside, because we're not in the corporate culture, we're in the entrepreneur culture. And what we're seeing a lot of is a gazillion startups, especially in the tech world, right? Also in you know, the environmental world. There's a huge, you know, solar and all of these new things. So what happens, you get the startup, here's the entrepreneur, let's do this. Oh, it's all exciting. Especially fixing and starting something new kind of go hand in hand. Let's all get in there. And, you know, it's like dating potential does not work. No, do not try to fix it. but it's just not going to happen. But you get excited and you go out, the company gets started, but there are serial startup people that are, they have that. It's like, I got this baby up and running and that's it. I'm done. I'm selling it. They go into the next thing. And so here's everybody who helped birth this new baby. Then somebody else takes it over, or like, we've got what's going on now where it's like five companies own everything, you know, if you're lucky, right? So there's all these mergers and all of this going on. And so that shuffle means whenever someone sells, it's like, uh-oh, who's staying, who's going? And I almost feel like as an someone, you know, being hired through a company, that you've got to almost have that thick skin and know that's the way the world is working right now. And so it also could open up to other opportunities. Maybe look at being like the startup guy or gal and understand that this can always change and that there's numerous opportunities, and not be someone where it's really a difficult balance of, oh, I'm going to be here for 2 years and bail on your company. It's not that. It's kind of like, okay, I'm always open to new things and experiencing new things, so that I am even more important in my role in a company. The more experiences you have in different aspects, in different fields, the more you can bring to the table. So I kind of feel like women, we should kind of adopt more of that startup and expect the change to happen with the sale and the merger.
I absolutely agree. And what's happening now with the pandemic, and they call the first months of it the she session, because there were so many women that were leaving their jobs or that were being fired or let go. And a lot of those women went into the entrepreneur mode. Now, you know, in the days of yore, entrepreneurs were known as it was innovation-based entrepreneurship. Unfortunately, now there's more necessity-based entrepreneurship. They're out of the company. They have to do something. They want to make money. They do their startups. And if they continue to prosper and get used to change, it really is the best antidote. And the women that I talk to, there is still a huge group of these women, I call them the loyalists. And chapter one is the loyalist guide to betrayal. These are women that have been with a company, with a mission for many years, and don't have the experience that you're talking about, where they're used to change. They're used to this idea that nothing is permanent. And as illusory as that may be while they're inside the company, that is the feeling. That's why they give their all, you know, 30 years, 20 years at this company. And it really does feel like a betrayal of trust. Trust is a major aspect in all of these stories. And even in the past, I will tell you, the past 2 weeks, I have had calls from three women, one ironically, who was going to have me be part of her programming for women's leadership, who was told the day before that she was being let go.
Wow.
And so the trust there, once it's broken, and we know this from our relationships with people, once trust is broken, that's it. At least that's how I feel. You need to move on, and you start thinking of yourself and where you want to be. And one of the other triggers of somebody who's inside an organization, who's been a loyalist, who's been a leader, is the communication with their team members. I've been a builder of staffs. I've sponsored women. I've mentored women. I've gotten very close to and supportive of women, helping them rise as I rise. And when you're suddenly severed from your organization, it totally affects your team. You don't know how to talk to your team.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Mainly they're feeling, if it happened to her, it could happen to me.
Right.
They're scared. They're scared. And they go into survival mode. Mm-hmm. And when you try to reach out to them, they may not answer your call. They're so scared. And you have to realize that it's not personal. It's professional. It's their business. It's their livelihood. They will, those who come around will come around eventually. And some people you never hear from again at all. So there's a whole chapter in Involuntary Exit where I talk about the concept of work friends. And we ought to, oh, my best work friend and my work family. And then the women were shattered when they never heard from their best work friends the minute that they were let go from the company. Oh, it happens all the time.
Well, it's just like your best friend gets married and has a baby and that's it. You never see them again. until they get divorced and they're crushed and then you're like, I need my friend again.
I think if you get fired and you have good friends at work, those friends are really scared to talk to you.
Yes.
I could see where they would think, oh, I might be next. If anybody finds out I'm talking to the person fired, then it's like, oh, the women are gossiping and she's going to be next. Kind of thing. So I think that's part of the, oh, I better just play it cool. And I don't want to get fired. So I'm not talking to my best friend who just got fired.
There is part of that. And some empathy does squeak through on a Sunday night in a text, and then you don't hear from them again. The reverse side of that is that women leaders that have been let go have to be very careful about taking calls from people at the firm. And they have to step back and think, why are they calling me?
Yeah.
Do they want gossip, which is, we know, is the great currency of office talk and makes people feel like they're in the know. Do they want to complain to me? Are they looking for another job? What do they want from me? And be very, very careful. And my advice is, don't talk to someone if you're still in a state of anger, shame, distress, anxiety, paranoia, all of those things. Don't even pick up the phone, because it won't reflect well back on you.
I think even, unless you're really in a desperate spin financially, it's time to go on a vacation or something for a bit, go on a sabbatical, go hiking in a park, do that, get back to your soul of who you are and rebuild. And, that whole thing about the gossip, it's bad. That is not good, because you never know who knows who, which could lead to your next career, So that's to me, when you're talking about not having that network outside the company, it's very dangerous. I think that's why it's important, obviously, to work with nonprofits I think it's important to help those that you want to help. But having those extra networking opportunities are crucial, and going to, different events and things like that, so that you do build that and keep your resume up to date and use LinkedIn as LinkedIn, because it's changing. I see it in different fields that we deal with all the time. Oh, I've moved here. It's been great here, but I'm here now. And, so you just go, well, congratulations on your next thing. There's a lot of shuffling going around in certain industries.
There is.
I mean, right now we're looking, the food and the hospitality industries in a flat spin, really a big deal. And when you start to lose really good management in those fields, that's not good. And so people are like, okay, I could do this, I could do that. But if you're not networking and you don't feel like, I don't feel like I have to have a resume, this is what I do, but you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
I'm like, Nancy could kick me out of the company. Yeah, I mean, she could.
Yeah, you just behave yourself over there.
She could. And then I'm sitting there going, okay, I know all these people, but it's all connected with that. So I kind of feel like when you said about the one girl that it's her business,
Yes.
We should look at our working life as a business instead of maybe too emotional. But emotion gives you fire to go, I think, though.
I know. I remember
positive emotion.
Yeah.
One office manager at the same company I'm talking about, he got fired, and not only did he go into shock, so did the entire chapter of this office, of this corporation. Mm-hmm. Because talk about, if it could happen to him, it could happen to
anybody.
It took him a year to get himself where he could go interview and look for something else.
You know,
yeah, he took it really hard. So sometimes I know we assume women are more emotional, but I think sometimes it really gets to the men more than it does women, because we're used to picking up pieces.
It's true. And and what I say is my advice holds true for men as well as women. It depends. I have a sense, I could be wrong, that women wrap their identities up more in their jobs on in some ways than men. But I've also run into men, and I've also counseled men who have been let go. So I agree, actually, that it can take a long time to come back to yourself. And I want to amplify that point that Lisa made about taking time off to rediscover your soul. And that's what a lot of women did. And it's part of my best advice that I offer, is to step back and reflect before you just, you know, run right to the next opportunity. And when I was networking with people that were new to me, and I worked whoever I knew to get to the next person and the next person, I remember this one man asked me this question I had not even considered. He said, "Well, do you want to do something new or replicate what you had?" And I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should just take time to really think about what my next step is." And another good friend said to me, because I'm such a, like you said, you have emotion, it makes you move forward, it keeps you going. He said, "Don't confuse moving quickly with moving forward."
Oh,
right. Mm. And that made me stop and say, "Oh, wait a minute. That's true. I'm just trying to get everything fixed and treat this as a blip, or do whatever I
gloss
need to
over
do
it.
To go
Real.
Forward.
Just get it.
Yeah, to gloss over it.
We didn't see that happen.
Yeah, and that resonates with so many of the women that I spoke with. But I'm finding now with the pandemic that it gives them, quote, cover. No one's expecting them in the office. They don't need to print some bogus business card that says, you know, perfect person connector or whatever fun names that we come up for ourselves. They can actually sit back and think about things. And that's been, we talk about the silver lining of the pandemic. There aren't many, but that's been some of them, where they don't have to show up. They don't have to put on a public persona that everything is fine, because there's a lot of private turmoil going on while they're trying to be the public person, the leader, the team leader, the good employee, the transition specialist, you name it. They can sit back and say, "Well, wait a minute, who am I? What do I want? And what do I want to do next?"
Yeah. And how cool is it to get new things? I mean, new things are, it's exciting. And maybe just even changing, if you want to replicate, like he was saying, replicate or something new, you're replicating in a new venue, which is interesting. It's like taking a different, you know, road to work. Come on, it's good. You got to do detours are good.
Lost.
Yeah, get lost. Yeah, if you get fired, get lost.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's fun. Well, but it is a good time to re-educate or further educate yourself. Maybe, and sometimes you think, okay, everything's working, you've got your job, everything's going smoothly, then the rug's pulled out from under and you forget. Maybe you got so comfortable in your job and it wasn't really anything you wanted to really do with your life. So it could be a huge benefit to be let free. And maybe
definitely.
Think, let's go do what I really want to do.
Definitely.
You know, what you need to do and what you want to do could be two way different things.
Very different. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the book does end on a high, where it talks about the freedom and the blessings of being fired. And that maybe the company did for you sooner than you would have done for yourself what you needed to do to move forward.
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
You know, I think, you know, we were talking before we recorded, you know, during the pandemic, we travel full time, and how we traveled didn't work. I mean, even towns were like, "Sorry, we're closed. We're in an emergency with COVID, you know, all these things changed, but just as the doors closed, new things opened of how we traveled.
Right.
It changed our business. It changed our way of life. And I mean, in a huge positive. And now can everybody stop the traffic?
I have the same feeling. It was really great when there wasn't any traffic.
I know. Get off my trails.
It's better. Look at all the cars. First, it was kind of cool. You know, there was nobody.
I know.
We were like, hey, look at this. We have our own freeway.
I know. It was great. But I do believe, and I hear it in your voices too, that the right people come into your life when they need to come into your life. It is so... I know it sounds kind of out there, but it has happened again and again for people. The right people show up when you need them to show up. Or maybe it's just that you're more open to hearing what they have to say.
I was just going to say, maybe it's because you ran. When somebody pulls the carpet out, you blink, you all the boat.
Yes.
Now that's a wake up call. So you have the wake up call, and maybe the people that have always been around you, you suddenly see in a different
way. That is so true, because there are many, many what consultants or independent contractors that I knew, and I saw them as, oh, they're going to keep calling me for work and, you know, this kind of thing. But now I see them as entrepreneurs and I see the bravery in what they've done in starting their own firms, in designing their lives around what they believe in. And it's not just work, it's their personal lives, their families, whatever they want to do. And the glaze has come off. And I think so often when we're in corporate roles or company positions, we see people just according to how they're going to help us help the company. And as you said, we're human beings. And there was an article from, I think his name is Hubert Joly. He's a lecturer at Harvard. And he was a CEO who came in and turned around Best Buy by doing the opposite of what people thought should be done. He invested in people. He gave them raises. He listened to them. He treated them as human beings. And one of his quotes that I like is, in business, you want to be remembered as a human being and for how you treated human beings. That's so true and so important for this kind of situation. I just want to add that a business professional coach that I've worked with, his name is Bob Cooper, and he just finished the book. He said this should be mandatory reading for all outplacement agencies, HR people, and leaders of companies, so they realize the impact on people's lives from firing.
And I mean, even it's got to be hard to be in HR, be the manager of that, and then be fired. It's like, what? That's my job. No.
Yeah.
You know? But one thing too, you know, I love your title, Involuntary Exit. I love that. Yeah. That happens, I think one of the first things you can do to refocus and recenter is to actually volunteer and do something. Giving back kind of gets you feeling good about yourself.
Right.
Better. Because I think that whole blow we were talking about, it's like crippling. It's like your knees buckling because of the trust and the caring. It is like a divorce. You know, it is like a death. It is a death of something. You know, death isn't just
a loss. It's grief. It's a grieving process.
And your self-confidence level, that I think is what's really hard for women, is, you know, to be able to stand up. And then, like you're saying, not having your immediate network of women friends in the workplace, like all of that's kind of crumbled. And it's like, oh, no, you know, so don't. You don't need to feel like you need to take a shower after it happens.
I don't know. I think a glass of wine and a nice soak in a hot tub and bubble bath sounds really good.
Yeah,
sure. At least once a week. I agree with you. But to go back to, my career has been in the nonprofit world. So I have such respect and admiration for volunteers, whether they are volunteers at the board level or they're volunteers in general for the organization. And the organization will pay back those volunteers all the time in terms of recognition and the impact it's able to make because of them. I believe I heard you volunteer for for the national parks or for the outdoors. When you're part of an organization like that, you definitely get a feeling of meaning and purpose, mm-hmm. which is really important. And one of the women that I interviewed in Involuntary Exit had started volunteering for an organization. It was a healthcare organization. And she opened up a whole new side of herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was so welcomed that when she told them that she had to leave to go to another job, they were so upset. They made a special award for her to thank her for everything that she had done. It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful next step to, mm-hmm. to feeling as if you've been, as you said, you're down on your knees and you can't manage your way out of a trash bag and you have no
value. It makes
you
get out of bed. You have something.
It makes you get up off the floor. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a slap in the face, no matter how you look at it, being fired for whatever reason. But in the one place that I worked in, Lisa and I one time worked for the same company in different shopping malls. And they just bounced you around wherever they wanted you to be bounced around too. So one day you live in this city and then over 2 weeks you get to move to this city over here. And so you weren't being fired, but the carpet kept being pulled out from underneath you. You know, it's like you were constantly moving and moving and moving. Of course, now look at us now. Now we're in control of where we move.
You know? Kind of. Keeps changing.
Yeah, but... You know, it really all has to do with attitude, but there is that one thing when somebody fires you, you take it as the person is saying, I don't like you. I just don't like you. No matter how good you
do. Or that you don't have value for me.
I'm done with you. Bye. You know, it's really something that takes a lot. I think it's a process to get through it.
I think it's great that you've written a book about it,
right?
Because I mean, I don't see anything out there like this. And I think especially, you know, I know men go through it and have this, you know, but I think women do need a lot of support. And I think it's really, we still need women to be paid like men get paid. And we're still fighting for these things in the workforce, you know, at all levels. And so we're still pushing and pushing and pushing, and we do need to have a network that is outside of work. We do need that other network. Mm-hmm. It's really crucial, and even like a mentor or a coach on the side. A life coach is good too, I think, to have someone that is aside, away from exactly what you're going through, you know?
Yeah. And I will tell you, and I know that you believe this because I've heard you talk about it in your previous shows, knowing that you're not alone, knowing that you have a community is really important for men or for women. But it's to know that this isn't a shameful thing, that people have gone through it and they've lived through it and they've come out even stronger. And I can tell you, one of the benefits of writing Involuntary Exit is I've been able to reach out to new networks, and I have discovered a whole layer of leadership institutes and women's programs and women interested in reinventing themselves and getting ahead and bonding with other women. It's been wonderful. And what I say in my book is that when it comes to networking, don't read articles that tell you need to have 200 people that you call, and then your next year it has to be 100 people that you call. I call that volumizing.
Sound like somebody to me.
Right? You really need one person. It really starts with one person. And today it's so easy to say, oh, Lisa, let me connect you via email to Nancy. I'll just write an email on Lisa to Nancy to Ellen to Barbara to whoever comes next. Mm-hmm. It just starts cascading, and you end up in a whole new world. And I really think that, again, what you talked about, attitude and triggers and scripting, before you go out there, though, make sure you know what you're going to say, how you're going to present yourself. don't volumize and go into a reception and someone says, so what happened? And you're suddenly like a deer in the headlights.
Exactly.
Really know how you're going to present yourself when you reach out to your new network and how you want to do it. And you won't get it right immediately. Mm-hmm. There may be a lot of different trial and errors that you go through, but eventually you'll feel relaxed and comfortable enough. And those right people that come into your life when you need them to come into your life suddenly start appearing. And it's wonderful.
And having that, knowing who you are, should come first before the company that you represent. So if you're representing you, then once you've got it, you've got it. And the layers of things that you're doing in your life are just added on. You know what I mean? It's like, here's our fresh glass of wine. Now let's age it and let's age it. It gets better and better. Add a little of this, add a little of that. You've got a beautiful blend. But, you know, so to me, that's how it should be. It's like, this is who I am. And, oh, I happen to do this, you know? So if we do that, then it becomes a normal comfort thing. People ask, what did I do? I'm like, I'm a luggage carrier. I'm a driver, you know,
many talents.
Yeah. You know, so, but, yeah. I'm a woman of many talents, so, you know, but it's just that kind of know who you are. And then from there, it just becomes easier and easier and easier. But thank you again. This is such an awesome book. And I hope you have a book club or start a group or something.
Yeah. That's my plan. I really want to help women and to have them tune in and be a community, share their stories, share their successes, and open up and make this a wide open topic rather than a quiet, as you said, secretive.
Topic. It's like the secret society. Carpet. Yeah.
Right. Under the carpet.
Everyone, again, the book is by Robin Merle and you can get it. It's called Involuntary Exit, A Woman's Guide to Thriving After Being Fired. And of course, keep up with Robin on her website, theprofessionalguide.com. And thanks for joining us, everyone. Well, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air Monday through Friday. Thanks so much, Robin. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. It really has. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Okay.